And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. This is Friday, folks. And you know what that means on this program? It is First Amendment Friday. That means we open the lines early. I don't think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I didn't get many calls in at all because I got into this soliloquy about Bill de Blasio and his long communist involvement and how he changed his name from Warren Wilhelm because he didn't want to be associated with his father, who was an anti-communist, actually. And he didn't like that. And he ended up supporting the Sandinistas and being an apologist for them and vacationing in Cuba and all of that. So I got into all of that and didn't get many calls in. I want to get a lot of calls in today. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I do want to set the stage, however, because, you know, I learned something today that I really did not know. And please don't laugh at me, you know, because some of you may be thinking, so E.W. Jackson, what are you saying? That you know so much that you're surprised when you learn something you don't know? Don't sound like my wife, folks. No, but when it comes to, you know, social commentary and the things that are going on in our country and that kind of thing, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with most of it all. I don't hear or see very many things that are brand new to me. But I actually saw something, learned something that is brand new to me that I had never heard before. Now, some of you perhaps have. And in the course of me taking your calls, you can comment on this. But I was reading this article about the back and forth between Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And, you know, I'll tell you something. This is just a footnote. You know, Lori Lightfoot, to me, really looks evil. I'm serious, folks. I'm not here again trying to be cute or you know, attacking the woman. But there's something very, very sinister about her. And, of course, if you listen to her language, you kind of realize that, you know, I believe what the Bible says, which is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. And she recently said, I have two words for President Trump, and I won't even bother to hint at what those two words were because you can always already imagine without me saying it. She says things like that. But at any rate, she was going a back and forth with Kayleigh McEnany, and she called her a Karen. A Karen. I did not know. I'm serious, folks. I did not know that in some circles, Karen is an insulting racial slur against a woman of European descent, or as is popularly known, a white woman. I did not know that. I'd never heard that before. Then I saw several articles pointing to the same thing. I thought, wow, that's interesting. I'd never heard that. But what she said was, what is the quote? But, you know, something about, you know, shut up, Karen, shut your mouth, or something like that. But she referred to her as a Karen. And apparently that is an insulting term that is used to depict angry, obnoxious, whatever. Here it is. She tweeted, hey, Karen, watch your mouth. And apparently that's what Karen is. It is a derogatory racial term. The Urban Dictionary defines it as the stereotypical name associated with rude, obnoxious, and insufferable middle-aged white women. Folks, that one's new to me. I'm serious. I'd never heard that before. I guess this whole racial movement is conjuring up stuff that probably none of us has ever heard before. That's a new one to me. But then it came up again in other articles that I read, and I'm thinking, wow, how did I miss this? There was a woman who apparently got into a thing with some Black Lives Matter protesters, and she responded to whatever they were saying with the term "all lives matter," and they killed her. Yes, I mean, she was actually murdered for saying "all lives matter." They murdered the woman. And apparently this same term was used to refer to her and other very nasty things. Other very, very nasty things. Somebody apparently said after she was attacked, "Black Lives Matter, the rest of you are next." And didn't I just spend yesterday talking about the National Museum for African American History and Culture and the stupid stuff they put on their website? This stuff is just, it's cancerous, it's toxic. After she was dead, somebody else said, well, maybe she should have thought about that before she opened her racist and then an expletive mouth. Folks, this stuff is really getting ugly. And you know the sad thing is that Dr. King must be turning over in his grave. I believe he's in heaven, but you understand the expression. Because he was trying to bring us together. He was trying to heal the rift. He was trying to help Americans. In fact, I think he was quoting Benjamin Franklin when he said this. He said, but either we will live together as brothers or we will perish together as fools. And now we've got these people running around conjuring up these racist ideas and ad hominems and diatribes and these nasty ways of referring to people. It's just beyond the pale what is going on in our country. It is beyond the pale. And look, let's not mince words about this. This is anti-white racism. You can't soft soap this. You can't sugarcoat this. This is anti-white racism, is what it is. And it's got to be stopped. I mean, a halt has got to be put to this stuff. This is absolutely crazy. Well, look, here's some other things. You all know police officers are being brutalized all over this country. And I thought that the narrative was that police were causing the deaths of Black men in epidemic numbers, which was always a lie. It's not true. It hasn't been true. I don't think it was even true in the worst of the civil rights days, but I can understand the images that would have been conjured up by Bull Connor turning a hose on people and releasing the German shepherds and obviously, you know, a lot of violence against civil rights workers and all that. I can understand that. But that's not what's happening today. And it's an absolute lie. But it ought to be obvious now what the epidemic of violence is. The epidemic of violence is criminals and thugs, many of whom, a disproportionate number of whom, happen to be Black, killing other Black people. That's the epidemic. That's the problem. And Black Lives Matter is silent, which tells you, again, it is not about saving Black lives or any lives. It is about advancing a Marxist, socialist, communist, totalitarian agenda, and frankly, using Americans of European descent as the foil, the evil people who must be put down. In fact, there's an analogy I've got to use, but stand by. I'm going to come back and take your calls and then get into this further.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, most of the debates we have in society are war of words, and it's not surprising that liberals and progressives have redefined words and phrases to promote their agenda. Abortion is called choice. Homosexual marriage was recast as marriage equality. The list of redefined words and phrases has become quite long. But the latest phenomenon has been to ban certain words and phrases. David Harsanyi mentioned an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that describes four racist words that must be banned from our vocabulary. One of those is the phrase peanut gallery. No doubt you've heard someone say that they don't need any comments from the peanut gallery. The article tries to make this racist by linking this to a time when poor Americans or black Americans might have been relegated to the back sections of a theater. I think most people would see this as a real stretch. Another word we hear that we cannot use is master, as in master bedroom of a house. And we're told we need to change the name of the famous golf tournament known as the Masters. Since I have two master's degrees, I wonder what I'm supposed to call those degrees from Yale and Georgetown. And by the way, if there's any name that should be changed, it is Yale University, which is named for Elihu Yale, who was not only a slave owner, but a slave trader. Anyway, I would hope that rational people can see the absurdity of banning the word Masters. When I think of the Masters golf tournament, I think of Tiger Woods, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus. On more than one occasion, I've told a speaker or a musician that his or her presentation was masterful. Or a painting or a musical score is often called a masterpiece. You know, when liberals redefine words and ban other words, it makes it more and more difficult to have a rational discussion. And maybe that's the purpose after all. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Athletics and life teach us common benefits. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Whether you're working on that golf game or improving your average on the baseball field, you can learn life lessons. But more importantly, you can learn spiritual lessons. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross just so that you can have a personal relationship with him. Receive Jesus Christ now as your Lord and Savior and enjoy the ultimate prize of eternal life. Then you can do what Hebrews 12:1 says. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." A message from American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. It's Free for All Friday on Focal Point, where you help us set the agenda. How do Trump's troubles compare to Lincoln's in 1864? Will we see NFL or college football this fall? Michelle Obama starts a podcast that will be all about race. Sounds like fun. And a police chief is in trouble for a pro-police flag in his own home. Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, you'll also be interested to know that Angela Davis, yes, communist, former Black Panther, I guess, Angela Davis, has endorsed Joe Biden and said Joe Biden is the best person to be president because he can be pressured by the likes of her and her ilk. Boy, that's comforting. I've been sort of wrestling with this. How can I not know that this has been a slur that is, I don't know how long it's been around, but here again, I just discovered it today. So a slur against a white woman is called to call her a Karen. But I thought, you know, probably the reason why I've never heard this is that people who know me, first of all, nobody I know would ever talk like that. Nobody who's around me would. And if I'm around people who know anything about me, they know that I would never sit by and allow anybody to talk that way in my presence. I would stop them cold, and I mean it, because I don't like it. I don't traffic in it. I don't believe in it. But this woman who works for the Washington Post, her name is, what is it here? Interesting. Her name is Karen Ataya. So, you know, talk about irony, right? But she tweeted out something indicating that white women are lucky that people of color are not out for revenge because of the long list of sins of white women. This is a Washington Post editorialist. And she gives a list of the sins of white women, okay? And she goes all the way back in history and, you know, and she blames white women for the murder of Emmett Till, and she blames white women for the Tulsa massacre. And she said 53% of white women voted for Trump. And then she ends it with this. White women are lucky that we are just calling them Karens. There it is again. Wow. This, you know what my dream is, what my vision is for this country, that we live in a country where not because that kind of talk is outlawed, because I want us to always have freedom of speech, even to say stupid things like that. But because our people are so imbued with the values of what it means to be an American and our Judeo-Christian ethic that they just don't talk that way. And anybody who's stupid enough to talk that way, it gets people looking down their noses at them like, what is wrong with you? So much for the idea that, you know, black people can't be racist because they don't have power. Racism is not a matter of power, it's a matter of the heart. And I'll tell you what, there seems to be a whole lot of it going around right now, and it's coming from the likes of this woman, Karen Ataya, and others like her, who are just spreading this poison throughout our culture. And I'll tell you something, folks, and then I'm going to come to your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. I just pray that God will use me and use us as Christians to bring an end to this incessant nonsense that we are hearing coming out of the left, and that we develop such a strong ethic of individualism in this country that all of us see every single person, not as a member of some group, but as an individual, to be dealt with by according to the color of their not according to the color of their skin, but according to the content of their character and their gifts and their abilities and what they bring into our society. And that's it, and that's all. Okay, well, let me stop there and get right to the phones because this is First Amendment Friday, and I want to get as many of your calls in as I can. So let's see. Let's go first to William in Texas. William, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to give you a one-liner that you can use to defeat all this nonsense, and it's this. I've never heard a racist person ever say, "All lives matter."
Amen. Amen, William. That's right. Even though they will argue that the very statement, "All lives matter," is racist, which is just one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. William, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Julian in Georgia. Julian, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bishop. Hey, you know, I've heard this a while back. I'm not real computer literate. So I looked up the Black Lives Matter deal on their website, and only one black person every 28 hours by some sort of police is killed by the police. Yet abortion has reduced the black population by 25% over the last 47 years. And when are the Democrats are going to wake up? You see, the Republicans, for the most part, are pro-life, and the Democrats are pro-abortion. And they're losing these votes, these elections, by just a handful of votes, where if, you know, 75, 80 million people, most of them would have been Democrats, would have got them in. And I dated a girl a few years ago. Her name was Karen, and I looked that up. Karen means pure one. When you said that today, that's the first time I heard that today, so I'll let you go. When was the last time you saw Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton at an abortion clinic, a boycott of abortion clinics killed more black people than the KKK has in 6 years?
You are absolutely right about that. It's a sad tragedy that, and yet they've got the support of so-called black leaders for the genocide that they're committing against the black community. Thank you so much for the call, Julian. Let's go to, we got time. Let's go to Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you. I just have one thing to say, and that is that, well, I got a couple things to say. First off, the Black Lives Matter was created by the Democrats, just like the KKK is. The KKK was. Mm. because Nathan Bedford Forrest, he was a Democrat. Also, Black Lives Matter. If the Black Lives Matter, then it should be about all Black lives, not just one or two.
Yep.
All right.
You are absolutely right, Jeff. And listen, thank you for the call. Yeah, let's face it. I mean, I've said this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but there's some truth to it, which is if you're going to start tearing down anything in history that's associated with slavery, that the first thing you ought to discard is the Democrat Party. Because the Democrat Party was the party of slavery. The Democrat Party was the party of Jim Crow. And frankly, the Democrat Party today is the party of insidious, condescending racism against all minorities who they treat as some kind of little handicapped children that need to be patted on the head and sent off to their room with milk and cookies. I mean, that's the way they treat Black people. In fact, there was a study done. I shared it with you all a while ago. I may still have it in my archive of files. And it was done by Princeton, I believe Princeton and Yale. And they showed that liberals talk down to minority people because they somehow inherently consider them to be inferior intellectually. And these are the people who are supposed to be the champions of the minorities. These people don't care about minorities. They care about power. They care about transforming this country. They care about doing away with Judeo-Christian values and faith in God. And you go on the Black Lives Matter website. What do they talk about? We need to do away with the Western family construct. In fact, this is what I'm saying. The National Museum of African American, I told you I would rename it, right? But this is what they call it, African American History and Culture, says that the nuclear family is a white thing. What? Folks, this stuff is just, it is off the charts crazy. It really is. It is bat crazy. Okay, let's go to, you've been waiting a while. Let's go to Mary in South Carolina. Mary, welcome.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. God bless you. Your show is a blessing to me. I want to quickly get through this real quick. First of all, I am of lighter skin. I wanted to say that it breaks my heart to think, you know, when I think of what happened in this country with slavery, and let me just move on to that to try to get through this quickly, but the lighter skin that I got, God gave me the skin, and I can't apologize for it because Amen. He is a perfect God. And just like he gave you the color of your skin, we all have one color of blood, and that's the color that dripped from Jesus on the cross, his side, and that's red, one race, one color of blood. So that is one thing, you know, that it just breaks my heart that, you know, the past is not good at all. And I have a lot of Black friends. I attended a Black church and ministered for 10 years. And so I love all people, those that, you know, that come through my path and those that I pray for that don't. But also I wanted to say that in that I can't repent for the sin of my great-great-great grandfather. I can't Amen. Do that. I can't repent for them. All I can do is have my heart break for the horrific things that were done. But I want to read from Ezekiel. I'll do it very quickly.
And okay, sure it'll have to be quick, Mary, because we're going to come up to a break, okay. But give it a shot.
Okay. Chapter 18, when God, let me just say, when God told them no longer, told Ezekiel to tell the people no longer could you use a parable where it said the fathers ate sour grapes, I think, and set the children's teeth on edge. And mm-hmm. all through that chapter, God said, the sins of the father is on the father, and the sins on the son is on the son. I can't take on somebody else's sin and repent for them. So I just thought that I would make that. So,
Mary, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And you are so right, Mary. You are so right. None of us has to answer for the sins of our ancestors. We answer for our own sins. That's the way God has designed the universe, and that's the moral order he has put in place. But this leftist stuff is simply trying to keep people worked up about something they've never experienced and never known, and they need to get over it. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Ours is a youth-oriented age. We stress youth as beauty and strength. two of the things we covet the most. A tremendous amount of our time and effort and money is directed toward the adults of tomorrow. And that in itself isn't all wrong, for we should take stock in our youth. Help them to make this a better world than it is. Give them chances we never had. The only trouble is that we've done so too often at the expense of the older person. Perhaps the most neglected person in our society is the elderly person. Too often there seems to be no room, no place for those who are in their golden years. In our quest for beauty, we've looked upon only the outside, and this has caused us to turn to youth, for it's true that they are physically prettier than the elderly. But beauty, real beauty, is to be found on the inside. And here many of our older adults put Hollywood's beauties to shame. Perhaps the most beautiful sight in the world is an elderly mother sitting and thinking about the time when her children were young. She cared for her children, worked like a slave for them, gave up many things she wanted in order that her children could have something. We too often forget the many meals she fixed us, how many nights she lay awake while we were sick, how many new dresses she would do without so we could have some new clothes. Then, too, an elderly gentleman is perhaps our best illustration of a real man. The magazines, you know, say that you have to be young and muscular to be a real man, but that's only superficial. For real manhood belongs to the man with a walking cane, who's given his life working for his family, friends, and community. But now that he is slowed, now that his strength is weakened, now that his hair is gray, we forget about him and his outstanding deeds. All of us, without exception, are indebted to the elderly. Few of us could begin to match the real beauty and strength that is theirs. They have worked and worried, slaved and sacrificed, that our world would be a better one for us. Now they are often neglected, unwanted, forgotten. I guess more than anything else in the whole world, an elderly person just wants to be appreciated instead of ignored. It appears that it's not asking too much for youth to give up a few hours, a few wishes, a few dollars to say to the elderly, "You're still loved, wanted, and appreciated. We have not, nor will we, forget your great love and sacrifice for us." The Creator, in His wisdom, saw fit to reserve real beauty and real strength until our golden years. What we call beauty and strength in our younger years is but a fainting, fading, passing resemblance of the real thing. It takes years upon years to develop those traits. Why should we hesitate to sacrifice so little for those who have given so much?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
You know, I had this thought. The number is 888-589-8840, by the way. That wasn't the thought I had. I just wanted to get the number in because I want to keep taking your calls. We're off to a great start with a number of calls even before we finish the second segment. And it's this. Why is it that people are so much more inclined to listen to the garbage, the propaganda, the lies that come out of the Marxist, socialist, communist, Black Lives Matter, Democrat Party, far left movement? Why? Because human beings, without someone reaching them with the Word of God, without someone letting them know that God loves them, without the Holy Spirit beginning to prick their hearts, people are much more inclined toward evil and much more susceptible to being seduced by evil. We see, without God, the Bible says, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? And I really believe this, folks, that when Adam sinned and disconnected from God, he didn't enter into a spiritual vacuum. He connected to Satan. And Jesus said as much when he spoke to those who were in opposition to him. He said, "You are of your father, the devil. The deeds of your father, you will do." He called the devil their father. See, Adam disconnected from God as his father and connected with Satan as his father. And he said he was a liar from the beginning and the truth is not in him. And therefore, the truth is not in you. And I think that's what it is. We need an awakening. We need a revival in our country. We need to persuade our fellow citizens that what they really need is not social justice. What they really need is God. Because with God, justice, righteousness, and all that can fulfill the human heart comes. And without God, none of it will ever happen. All of this, these protests, what have they led to? Violence, murder, mayhem, the deaths of children in the streets of our cities. You can't point to one thing that's happened and say, oh, wow, something really good came out of that. No, nothing good has come out of it because you cannot reap what you do not sow. And if you're sowing violence and hatred and bitterness and anger and murder and vandalism and destruction of property and setting fires, this is what you're sowing. What do you think you're going to reap? Something good? Well, the Bible says God is not mocked. In other words, if you could reap something good from that, it would make God a liar. And God is not a liar. When he says, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. And that's exactly what's happening in the streets of our cities all over this country. So we, those of us who know God, those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, we just need to keep praying because there is a desperate need for divine intervention into this situation. All right, let's go to Carol in North Carolina. Carol, welcome.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to echo one thing that you were just saying there, because I have had that same discussion with people when different cities have allowed this protesting to turn to violence because they just take a hands-off approach. What signal does that send to the young people that when they don't get their way, what are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to violence. They're going to turn to destruction. And then that happens in the neighborhood. So I totally understand what you're saying there, but I just wanted to let you know when you were talking about the different terminology.
Yeah.
I watched a movie called Dear White People. I don't know if you know the movie. It's a few years old, maybe 5 years old. I thought the title was good, so I watched it, and I mean, it did catch my attention. And I really had it was I was made aware of a lot of these terminologies that we take for granted. And one of them is racist and racism. To me, and I'm almost 60, so just to let you know my context, that was just a form of prejudice, just a form of hatred, just a form of all of those things that are associated with that. However, what I've learned is that to some people, because it's not unified in the whole Black Lives Matter, but it is in there, racism is a form of oppression. And if you're white, which I am, then because I have benefited from oppression, therefore, in their definition, I am racist. And I'm going, wow, I can't, like the lady said a minute ago, just the skin I got, you know, the skin that I have is the skin that I have. So we really need to define terms so that we're all talking on the same page, because as you said, or one of the callers, redefining these terms makes things ambiguous and causes confusion and frustration, and that might be a part of the agenda. It doesn't help.
It is. Hey, Carol, thank you for the call. Look, everything you said has been quite insightful, but look, you're right. They use vocabulary to advance their agenda. It confuses us because it doesn't make any sense. But on their side, what they're using it to do is to indoctrinate people into a certain way of thinking. And you're right. They also, the left has long argued that black people, no minority people, can be racist because racism is a matter of power and oppression. But see, the way they define oppression is ephemeral. It's ethereal. Because you take me, for example. You take any successful person who doesn't happen to be of European descent or ancestry and who has been successful, and they'll tell you, oh, but you're still oppressed. And if you've got good sense, you look at your life and you go, how? Well, you may not know how, but you are. and you look at some poor person of European descent who may be struggling in life, maybe they've grown up real tough, maybe they've had a mother who was, you know, drug addicted, or they had a father who abandoned or abused them, and they're told, you're a beneficiary of white privilege. And the person looks at you and goes, I am? Well, where do I get some of it? Because, you know, I haven't felt it so far. I mean, so it's what they're doing is twisting the language to hypnotize people into believing stuff that's simply not real. See, systemic racism, in my view, is a myth. There's nothing real about it. I mean, there's either racism or there's not racism. Prejudice or there's not prejudice. This systemic stuff is a way of saying, well, you may not be able to identify it. You may not be able to put your fingers on it. You may not be able to prove it. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to feel it. And you may not be able to articulate it, but it's there. Oh, brother. You know, which means everybody's a victim, whether you know it or not, if you're black or if you're Hispanic or if you're whatever. And everybody's an oppressor, whether you know it or not, if you happen to be an American of any European descent. Because, you know, you all folks know how I feel about these terms, white and black and all. I mean, they really are mythological, because nobody is really white. Nobody's really black. Everybody's a person of color. But I won't get into all that. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Brett in Louisiana. Brett, welcome. Brett, you there? Okay, we lost Brett. Let's go to, you've been very patient. Let's go to Ron in Florida. Ron, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Ron.
OMG, Becky, can you look at that hatred? That's interesting about the Karen thing. I never heard that before either. But I forgot to tell you on a previous call that my father was a state trooper. And I talked about, you know, my encounter with the corruption up in Northwest Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But my father was a state trooper for 32 years. And back during the riots and protests of the 60s and 70s. And my mother retired from a police department in Alabama doing clerical work for 25 years. Both my parents retired from law enforcement. So I don't hate police. Even when I was in that jail, there was some of them in there that were pretty cool. You know, they right. knew it was all bogus. They knew I was innocent. And some of them, you know, there's good and bad in every profession, every race, every culture.
There you go.
You know, but this is not about what these people are doing. It's not about civil rights and human rights. It's like you say, it's about retaliation and revenge and power.
Yeah.
And and my sister, she's still in Georgia, was telling me about in Atlanta. There's these black fellas walking around dressed in all black with semi-automatic rifles, walking up the cars that are driven by white people, and saying, "Give me everything in your pockets." It's like, that's easy. That's
Ron. Ron, sorry about that, but I've got to take a break. But thank you for the call, Ron. Yeah, yeah, and the left is running around telling we got to get the guns off the street until Black Lives Matter, or these activists have guns, and then suddenly they're silent about the issue. Back in a moment.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, and I want to encourage you to join us this weekend. We're going to be continuing our Encountering Jesus series. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus as he ministered one-on-one to individuals. And this week, it's the woman at the well. We're going to see the power of Christ's forgiveness, his reconciliation, and how he invites us to worship in spirit and in truth. You can listen on this station or connect with us at foiradio.org.
The Middle East Report with John Riley.
The Israel Government Press Office and the Ministry of Jerusalem and Heritage brought together top-tier Christian media
Israel
professionals.
Israel has taken the unprecedented step of requiring all international travelers
Israel
to be
is a discipleship and service-oriented ministry in the heart of Jerusalem, whose main aim is to bring the hope of Messiah back to Israel.
Tune in to the Middle East Report, weekends on American Family Radio and on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
And I met this couple named Sean and Beth. And we went to church together, and they just loved each other. They brought me into their lives.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Joshua Rogers describes a couple who mentored him and gave him a positive view of marriage and family.
And I saw them walk through difficulties together, parenting. I saw them have, you know, disagreements. And they managed to, through all of this, stay in love. And I mean, there was a strong care for one another. It was rooted in Jesus. And there was passion. And they were funny. And they were the ones in the back of my head that always told me, you can believe in love. It's real. And that's what we want for our marriage today.
Huh.
We want people to see you can meet God in the messiness of marriage. And we are not afraid to do that.
Invite God into the messiness of your marriage. And you can hear more today from Joshua at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number again is 888-589-8840. Let's come right back to your calls. Let's go to Jacob in Alabama. Jacob, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jacob. How are you?
I'm just fantastic.
Good.
I wanted to let people know, you may already be aware of like the Black Lives Matter and targeting our children through TV on like Nickelodeon. And I can't even let my kids watch TV without me being in the room, because for fear of something like that coming on,
mm-hmm.
you know. And last month they were talking about the gay pride thing and the flag and that whole situation. It was just, yeah.
I know. You know, this stuff is really sad, and it's really disconcerting, and it angers me, because they're stepping between parents and their children and basically trying to indoctrinate the kids. I mean, and to me, there's just nothing more despicable than that, but they don't care, because frankly, they don't respect the family anyway. That's in their way. So just like a guy named George Lukacs in Hungary was the first communist to posit, if you want to destroy the family, the way you do that is you step between parents and children with various educational ideas about sex, so that the parents' values don't get passed on to the children. You use the schools to do that. And he's the first one to do it. His name is George Lukacs. I think it's spelled L-U-C-A-C-S, communist Hungarian. And he was the first one to use sex education as a way of stepping between parents and their children. And the leftists today are still doing it. Folks, you all forgive me if it sounds like sometimes I'm seeing communists coming out of my ears. But when you learn about what they really intended, when you read books like Skousen's book, The Naked Communist, and you read some of these books, and you realize exactly what they were planning to do is what they are doing. Jacob, it's rough. One of the reasons why I tell parents, get your kids out of these public schools, and you got to watch like a hawk everything that is now being fed to your children, because unlike 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago, when you could safely watch television with the kids, and you know, my wife and I still love Father Knows Best and some of these old shows. They're good, decent principles and ideas that are being shared with people in an encouraging and funny and humorous and entertaining way. Those days are gone. Those days are gone, folks. And even Sesame Street and Nickelodeon and all these places that are supposed to be entertaining children, watch even Disney, because this Walt Disney, again, another one who'd be turning over in his grave. But these folks don't have anything good in mind now. It's about propounding a set of values which are contrary to everything most parents want to teach your children. Certainly most Christian parents do. Jacob, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Carla in Illinois. Carla, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm very pleased to talk to you.
Thank you.
And first of all, I want to tell you what encouragement my husband and I received from listening to your program. He in particular, because I listen to AFR anytime I'm in the car and any chance I get.
Amen.
He doesn't.
Well,
when I
all
play
glad
back
to hear
these
that.
Things, he's thrilled to know that there are other people out there who are thinking the same things he is, and me too. First, now, I don't know if you were aware of this, but I went last night to read him the list of the chart from the African American Museum that you were speaking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there was a notice that they'd taken down a chart.
Uh-huh.
They said that many people had called in to express concern, and they listened, and they took it down from the whiteness section of their website.
Well, that's
great. I don't
know
if you were aware of that.
I was not aware of that, Carla, but I will give you and our audience members credit for that, because I certainly didn't contact them. So it had to be coming from maybe people who heard this program and of course, others who read it and saw it in other places. So that's great.
It's fabulous.
They ought to listen more.
Listening yesterday, I kept thinking, I don't know, all lives matter. Everybody gets shot, right?
Oh, goodness.
But this is the only thought that I have come to counteract or to say the other side, that no individual or group has a right to limit the rights of any other individual or group. And, of course, that is within law-abiding people.
Right, right.
And, I mean, and even law-abiding or not, I mean, convicted, imprisoned criminals actually have more rights than I thought they did, you know.
Oh, well. Look, Carla, I don't know whether you saw the story of this guy who beat up a police officer, bloodied him, gave him a concussion. He needed, I think, I forget the number of staples, but he needed to have his head stapled. He had a concussion. He had breaks in the orbital bone around his eye. And the criminal who beat him was arrested on the spot, was released without bail, right back on the street. I mean, so you're right, Carla. I mean, this stuff has just gotten completely and totally out of hand. Carla, got to take some other calls, but listen, thank you so much. And please say hello to your husband for me. And thank you both for the encouragement. I really do appreciate it. Let's go to Cole in Texas. Cole, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. I just wanted to give you an example of how Karen is used in the common vernacular, at least in my area. Karen is somebody who would order a steak to 145 degrees. It comes out, they take out their little temperature probe, it's 144.5. They want to see the manager, they send the steak back. Whenever the waiter gets back there with the steak to the manager would say, okay, Karen. So it could be any person, black, white, male, female. That's the way it's used here anyway.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Okay. Were you aware that it was used in some sort of racial fashion?
I honestly had never thought about it in that manner, but uh-huh. I can see definitely how it could be used in that.
Yeah.
Around okay. here, well, to somebody that is overly.
Well, see, what you just said is funny. That's just funny, right? You know, that could apply to anybody. But they're using it in a very derogatory way. You still there?
Yeah, well, yes, sir. Yeah, they're using it as a derogatory term, but for us, it's just like, okay, Karen, are you serious?
Right. But you know, isn't it ironic that the woman who uses the term to disparage so-called white women, her name is Karen. So, you know, you can't make this stuff up. Hey, Cole, thank you so much for the call. But that, yeah, that's funny. That's interesting. Appreciate it. Let's go to Andrew in Louisiana. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Bishop. Sorry.
Yes, Andrew. Yes, sir.
Hey.
I'm not a doctor, by the way, but thank you for calling.
Yeah, like, I don't know why that just came out, but anyways. I had 2 points. I want to see if I could try to fit it all in time. But, one thing is, when I called a few weeks or months ago, it kind of dawned on me, but I thought, like, I pitched this to you, especially on Free for All, and I don't think you said First Amendment Friday, but I'm thinking, with your background with law and everything, I'm thinking, I remember it hit me one day, I'm like, okay, my two main sources, I want to know my spiritual foundation, so go to my Bible, and I want to know my national foundation, my rights and everyone's rights and everything, so the Constitution, everything. So I thought it'd be great if, like, one day a month or week, whatever, you can, like, help us learn about the Constitution and rights and everything, and and or like online or something, have an outlet. And the other point I was thinking is about all the talk about racism. It's just ridiculous. The phrase that comes to mind is, you know, how do you expect something to heal if you keep picking at it? So they never leave it alone. But just thinking about it, how it's racism is stupid on 2 points, because it's a misnomer. It's really ethnicism, and racism would just be hatred of the human race. And then they can't even get it right in the naming of it. And then two, how, you know, no one has any control or volition in being born at all, so they don't have
exactly
any of being born, when, where, to whom, or how they're born. So why do people hate over something that no one has any control over?
Hey, Andrew, I'm gonna stop you there, because you've ended on an excellent point. Let's try to get in here. Don from Virginia. Don, welcome.
Very quick.
Don
was selling balloons. A vendor was selling balloons on the street one day, and he had a large handful of helium-filled balloons. Periodically, he would release a red balloon, and it would float away. A green balloon, and it would float away, and so on. This little black boy walked up to him, and he said, "Sir, if I buy a black balloon, will it rise?" At which the gentleman took a black balloon, released it, and it floated away. He said, "Son, it's what's inside that makes it rise, not the color of the balloon."
All right. Wow.
And it's just so appropriate today.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream that someday my children will be judged by the content of their character. And when I see them looting and robbing and stealing, blacks, whites, or whatever they are, it's not about the color of their skin. It's about their seriously flawed character."
Amen.
Dr. Martin Luther King said so.
Wow. Folks, I want to ask you all to please pray for my producer, Randy. I just found out he's not with me today because his mother passed away yesterday. So, Randy, we want you to know we love you. We're praying for you. And I know that our audience will pray for you, too, and for your entire family. But, folks, enjoy your weekend. Get to church. I hope your church is open and you can go worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ without fear. And in the meantime, just remember something. I don't care what they say to discourage us. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.